beacon of truth in a world of deceit. It's the Warrior.
Nancy Pelosi is now calling for the Epstein files to be completely declassified. We are truly in political bizarro world. Yeah. You're doing a tug of war to get declassification, exposure of whatever Epstein was up to, his clients, everything else, what was going on at that island. You're in this tug of war. And then you look who's tugging with you, and it's Nancy Pelosi? What the? All right, well, okay. Anybody that's on team expose the Epstein files, all right, Nancy, come on in. And then you look at who's pulling against you, and it's Donald Trump? Like, what the?
I bet you're probably wondering how I got here. Actually, I don't really know either, but here I am.
All right. Nancy Pelosi. All right. Who saw that one coming? How do you think she's going to feel about these insider trading bills that are going to come to a floor vote pretty soon? Wonder how she'll vote on that. Any guesses? Got a pretty good idea. I got a pretty good idea. Do you ever feel like you're getting stabbed in the back? You ever feel that way? You ever feel like something's just stabbing you in the back? Well, I certainly hope not. And I certainly if you were getting stabbed in the back, it wouldn't be by this brand new limited edition dagger that we're selling at thealexjonesstore.com. Here's the nice big beautiful box that it comes in here with the Alex Jones signature on it. Very nice. Limited edition Alex Jones signature on the dagger as well. Comes in a high quality case, carrying case that you can put on your belt. Very easy in and out, but also secure. It clicks in, so it's not going to come out here. You just adjust it on the top or on the bottom like that. It comes right out. So if you need a dagger, self-defense, other reasons, if you just want to keep up with all the different limited edition collectibles we're selling, this battle dagger is available at thealexjonesstore.com right now. And we also have a sale going on this week. It's the buy one, get one free bombshell sale. Buy one, get one free methylene blue tincture. Buy one, get one free Shilajit gummies. Buy one, get one free sea moss gummies. And, of course, with every purchase at thealexjonesstore.com, you get multiple entries into our raffles and giveaways. Right now, the Ford F-250 Lariat. And it looks like, do we have another giveaway now that's new? Is this new, guys? So the next one has been live. Are we doing the double entries right now? Do we know? Oh, okay. So it is the double entries. So currently, now when you shop, you'll be entered into two raffle giveaways. You'll be entered into the Ford F-250 raffle giveaway, and you'll be entered into the Jeep, the 2025 Jeep 4x4 Gladiator Rubicon. So also 10K cash with both of those as well. So double raffle entries right now when you shop at thealexjonesstore.com. So usually that means the Ford F-250, probably like a week or two before we'll do that drawing. And then after that, the Jeep is next. So when you shop now, double raffle entries. So one for each, giveaway number 7, giveaway number 8, the Ford truck and the Jeep Gladiator. So that's all going on. Take advantage of these sales. Have fun. Good luck. The only way to win is by shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. If you want to increase your chances of winning, become a VIP member at thealexjonesstore.com/VIP, and you will get bonus entries. That's right, bonus entries for our VIP members. We really appreciate those members. It's that sustained membership that budgets us into the future, and we really appreciate that. Okay. When we come back, maybe we'll start getting to some of these other video clips. Maybe we'll look at some of this geopolitical news as we enter the second hour of the InfoWars War Room. Oh, by the way, did you know they've tried a communist grocery store before in America? Yeah, how do you think that went?
I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it and how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexjonesstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.
Give me liberty
or give me death.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Well, Pete Hegseth is under attack again. Hegseth's signal messages came from email classified secret, a watchdog tells the Washington Post. So you know Hegseth is one of the good guys. That's why they're continuing to attack him. It's all the anti-war voices that are getting the attack, folks. That's what it is. War is in the air. War is in the cards. Pete Hegseth hit by deeply embarrassing allegations as leaked letter calling for his removal rips through the Pentagon. You know, I'll salute the good guys that can put up with this for 4 years. And I'd say at this point, I'm convinced for sure Hegseth, Gabbard, and Bongino are good guys. And that doesn't mean I don't have disagreements or agree with everything that they say or do. It's just I think they're good people. I don't think they're the bad guys. And so they don't want Hegseth and they don't want his anti-war aides in there. They don't want Gabbard, she's anti-war, to have access to all the intelligence. So they're just continuing to attack, continuing to sideline. So it's like, they've already tried to destroy Hegseth on multiple different occasions, and they just won't give it up. And he's sticking around. He's sticking around for now, at least. But they definitely want him out. The deep state, the Pentagon, the military-industrial complex, they want him out. They want Gabbard out. So if they stick around and they deal with this crap and the attacks for 4 years, you know what? I'll salute them. Probably, I don't know too many people that would want to endure that. But if they make it, that'll be impressive. But the one with the most to lose is obviously Bongino. Because if he looks at this deal and he says, all right, if we're not going to get deep state arrests, and I'm the deputy director of the FBI, how do I go back to my audience? I can't. I can't do it. So you either get deep state arrests and become a hero, or you don't, and people will no longer think you're the real deal. But Bongino obviously knows that. So I'm sure he's thinking very critically. Like, all right, well, and that's why if Bongino goes, folks, you know it's things are not good. If Bongino walks away, if Bongino resigns, that's like your 98% confirmation. Yeah, it ain't good. If Bongino had any hope that there would be deep state arrest that they could deliver to the American people, he would stick around for 4 years and go back to his audience as a hero. But if he's determined it ain't happening, I can't go back to my audience if it doesn't happen, I'm out, that's your sign, it ain't good. It ain't good. Now, Marjorie Taylor Greene was she on? Was it with Russell Brand, I think? Yeah. A couple interesting quotes from Marjorie Taylor Greene here. Guys, let's get 9 and 10 back-to-back here, and we'll respond.
Compared to any other country, Americans on their own privately donate more money than any other country in the world. They donate to all kinds of causes all over the world, to hunger, to AIDS, to educating children, stopping child sex trafficking. Americans are genuinely generous people. Now, Israel, of course, is our ally. However, Israel is a nuclear-armed nation, and everyone seems to forget to talk about that. Their government is also a secular government. This needs to be separated from Israel of the Bible. So there's that separation there. And then we can just make the financial argument that America is flat out broke. We're $37 trillion in debt. We don't spend, we give $3.8 billion every single year to Israel, even though Israel is less than $400 billion in debt, even though Israel is a nuclear armed nation. We don't give $3.8 billion to end homelessness in America. We don't give $3.8 billion to end the mental health crisis in America. We don't give $3.8 billion to help the drug crisis in America. And I think the American people are looking at all of this and saying, why not?
You know, it's called Occam's razor. Keep it simple, stupid. And I'm not calling Marjorie Taylor Greene stupid, but her methods of communication, like you see here in this clip, it's like, yeah, a stupid person can get that. And that's the point, you know. You have to be able to communicate with everybody. If you want to be effective in politics, if you want to be effective in media, you have to be able to effectively communicate with everybody. The smartest people, the dumbest people, the wealthiest people, the poorest people, people on the right, people on the left. Doesn't mean everybody agrees, but do they understand what you're saying? This is the big realization. And I've got this stack of economic news here that I can dig into. Now, I'm hoping if we get, look, we got the secure border. That's a done deal. Secure border, the child trafficking, everything else, that's done. Trump's won on that, A+. Now, can we get the good economy? I don't know. That's still up in the air. I think it could go either way at this point. But let's hope that we can get a good economy, a great economy. But we're not there. We're not even close. It's actually really bad. And really, yeah, you know, this started in 2020, folks. This started with the lockdowns and the COVID nonsense, which was Trump's administration. So really, the economy started to go the wrong way. After 3 great years under Trump, it went the wrong way because of COVID. Now, I'd like to think he just got bad advice and got caught in the whirlwind of it all and just made mistakes. And I believe that. But we have not recovered. And obviously, the Biden administration made it 10 times worse. But what is Marjorie Taylor Greene saying? She's saying, look, the American people, just from an individual level, are already the most charitable people in the world, and it's not even close. We also are the most charitable people as a country because of all the foreign aid that we dole out via our government. No other country, every other country on earth combined, doesn't give out as much foreign aid as we do. So we are by far the most charitable country probably in the history of this planet. Is the United States of America. But, you know, eventually you can be a charitable person. And, you know, eventually maybe you look into your bank account and you're like, oh, wait a second. I don't really have any money anymore. I've been very charitable. I've been very gracious, and I've like donated like all my money. I'm broke now. So what happens? Well, you can't really be charitable anymore, can you? So that's how Americans are feeling. They're looking at their grocery store bills, the prices at the grocery store. They're looking at their energy bills. They're looking at the price at the pump. And they're saying, you know, we're broke. They look at the national debt, $40 trillion in debt. Nobody doing anything to address it. We're broke. And yet every time you turn around, it's 500 more million for this foreign country, 500 more million for this foreign country, 500 more million for this foreign country. That was just the last vote. That was just a week ago. And I try to communicate this to the left because I'm no communist. I'm no socialist. But see, what Marjorie Taylor Greene understands, and she's right about this, because I have people that come up to me now that aren't, that are not liberals, and they're not leftists. They're not. They are definitely right-wingers. But they're like, Owen, I feel we can get more done working with the left now. And so I try to communicate. I'm like, to the left, and I do this when I go out and do these street debates or street interviews, and they talk about, oh, we need to do all this. We need to do all these things to help all of these different people. Oh, we need the universal health care and all these other things. And I'm like, well, I don't support socialist government, but I always reach this conclusion. And I'm like, I get what she's saying. I'm not for socialism, but if I had a choice, guys, do a quick Grok search or something. How much foreign aid did the United States of America give out in the calendar year 2024? It's going to be billions. It's going to be hundreds of billions. And even the numbers will be skewed. I mean, you talk about Ukraine aid, military aid, Ukraine, Israel, and then all the different foreign aid. It's going to be billions, maybe hundreds of billions. But whatever. We'll just accept whatever the result is because it's just to make a bigger point. So let's say the number is 100 billion. The crew can give me an answer. They're saying it's... They're saying, yeah, okay, 70 billion. All right. So U.S. foreign aid, 70 billion. And that's just one... That's just one window of officially allocated dollars for quote-unquote foreign aid. So that's probably not the military deal with Israel. That's probably not the military deal to Ukraine. So I mean, Greg, do you think it's fair to say $100 billion then? But whatever, we'll go with 70. It doesn't matter. The point is the same. Would you rather spend $70 billion on foreign aid, or would you rather spend $70 billion on... new airports, new hospitals, anything to make healthcare cheaper, you know. So it's like, I'm not a socialist. I'm not a communist. I'd cut taxes till there's like nothing left to cut. I'd make the government broke, not the people. The U.S. government needs to be broke, not the American people. But the U.S. government steals our money, makes us broke, and then somehow they're rich, even though they're $38 trillion in debt. So this is where it goes. This now becomes the issue. And people will focus on Israel, and that's because, you know, they're our greatest ally, but people are sick of them and what they're doing in Palestine and everything else. But it's not just Israel. Israel is just the main benefactor of it, and then their influence comes back. But no, it's Ukraine, it's you name it, any foreign country, Central America, South Asia. Why do we do this? Why? The average American doesn't even have enough money in savings to pay their next round of bills. So it's like, yeah, people are just looking at the left and they're saying, okay, well, every time I vote for Republicans, I get nothing that I want. Every time I vote for Republicans, my country just continues to get screwed. So if I can somehow come to some deal with the American left, and it's like, all right, keep all the money here and help Americans. We already live in a socialist country. Maybe that'll be better. So they're just looking for pragmatic solutions to all of this stuff. But this is the real issue, honestly. The Epstein thing kind of has this momentum, and it's like, yeah, we want this, and it's kind of a big issue for Trump, but it's like the real issue for America is that we have to cut taxes and we have to cut foreign aid. It has to be done. This country, its people will not survive financially until we cut taxes and cut foreign aid. I no longer want $100 billion going overseas every calendar year. I want that money to stay right here. Or I want you to cut the taxes that pay for it. Take your pick. I'd prefer cutting the taxes, but I'd take either one over the current circumstances. So either cut the taxes so there is no money for foreign aid, Sorry, we don't have the money anymore. We're letting Americans keep their money. Or if you're going to continue to rape us with taxes, then I want that money to stay here and actually go towards America. People understand that. People get that. And it's not a left or right issue. But see, nobody in D.C. really hammers into that. Nobody in D.C. really wants to go there because it's all a big boondoggle and they're all in on it. But not Marjorie Taylor Greene. That's why she goes there. Not Thomas Massie. That's why he goes there. Here's another one. Marjorie Taylor Greene's warning to Republicans. And I think she's spot on here. Clip 10.
Here's the warning for the Republican Party. You can't go out and talk about deep state actors that committed treason and election fraud and rich, powerful elite cabals if you're not going to hold these people accountable. The base has passed it. That has been red meat that's been dangled out for years now. I mean, since 2017, we've been hearing about Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and Susan Rice and Samantha Powers and all these people, James Comey, you know, Brennan, like all these people. But yet, if there's never any accountability, the base is like, tell me why I should care. And that's actually where it's coming. It's a dangerous situation to continue to say these are the bad guys and then never hold them accountable. But the Republican Party doesn't realize where they are in the big picture of things. They have an opportunity to actually correct the wrongs and actually to turn the ship around and get the right course going for America. Actually care about the American people. Turn your policies back to America first. Stop spending so much damn money. Really reduce spending. You talk about it on the campaign trail, but actually do it. Republican Party has a chance to do all these things. If they fail, and this is a really their one-time opportunity, if they fail, and I think it's during this year and next year is the two-year window, if Republicans fail to follow through, they're never going to get the chance again, because I'll go back, Russell, those 20-year-olds and those 30-year-olds they're hurting.
Yeah.
And you know what? You know what's going to happen? If you fail them again, they're not going to believe and trust Republicans anymore. They'll turn on President Trump if he fails them. But here's what's going to happen. That's going to be a door that's open for radicalism.
Yes.
And a whole different kind of leader than America has ever seen before.
Yes.
With a whole different type of agenda and a different type of plan. But it will be extreme and it will be radical. And you want to know something? It's going to be very appealing. It's going to be like tickles and whispers on their ears. And they're going to fall for it because no one else is fixing their problems.
She's 100% right. She's 100% right. And I think it kind of feeds into this other, call it a talking point that I've had here on the show, but it's just a political reality. It's a generational thing. That older Americans will not fully understand what she's saying. They might be able to grasp it and the concept of it, but they haven't lived it enough to fully understand what she's saying. And the youth that showed up for Trump and showed up for Republicans in the presidential election in 2024, they aren't showing up in the midterms. I guarantee it. And that's why the Republicans will lose. Because they feel they've been totally stabbed in the back. They feel they've been totally tossed overboard, and they're just getting crushed. Every poll indicates it. And I'm kind of like a bridge. I'd say, you know, I don't know, maybe millennials are still considered younger in the political world, but I'm still like a bridge between really the younger generational conservatives and the older generational conservatives. And I just see the differences. And the truth is that the older generational conservatives don't understand the displeasure that younger conservatives have with the Republican Party. It's like, oh, yeah, they get it. The Republicans are no good, but at least they're not Democrats. The younger Republicans are saying, I don't care. Let the Democrats destroy the country. What's the point? Republicans destroy it too, so let them lose. That's their attitude. But look at all this stuff here. This is why people are so ticked off and focusing on the foreign aid issue. And then why Trump getting the economy going is going to be so important and so key. But he has to cut all the foreign aid. Hey, they shut down USAID. Total victory. Great news. But the spending isn't stopping. It's just going in different directions. Trump's tariffs affect Walmart prices. Walmart prices are going up, ladies and gentlemen. Prices at Walmart are up. That's not good. And so people are going back in time and they're looking at all of these stories like 1921. You could buy, this thing is so small. I don't think I have a bigger picture. Maybe you guys can find it on screen. In 1920, you could buy basically a colonial mansion by today's standards. Not like your Mick mansions, but like a colonial mansion. And you could buy one of these and be in this house for, well, you could buy the actual product to use to build the house for $7,000. But you could be in one of these houses for less than $30,000. Six bedrooms, four bathrooms, multiple family rooms, dining rooms. And the average yearly wage at the time, you could basically pay it off in 5 years. Now you get like three bedrooms, two bathrooms, a couple hundred thousand dollars, takes you 30 years to pay it off. And so that's what I'm saying. This is why the younger generation on the left and the right, they just still have different political beliefs. They just are totally disenfranchised. They see how their future's been stolen, and they have some resentment towards the older generations that scoff at them and laugh and say, oh, you're just lazy. You don't get it. These kids are coming up in the world, and they look at it, and they say, I can't afford anything. Average age of a home buyer is now in its 54. Average age of marriage now in the 30s. This is all because people feel broke. A man doesn't want to get married when he's poor. He wants to be able to provide for his wife and his family. He doesn't get married when he's broke. Americans don't want to take out a mortgage that's going to end up being double per month what rent is. Younger Americans have been screwed. They're disenfranchised. And they don't appreciate being laughed at by the older generations that never had to experience this, at least not to this degree. So $6,500 for the materials for that colonial mansion in 1921 would equate to $117,000 today. Now, that's the inflation of 1,700%. Okay? 1,700% inflation in 100 years, folks. But then you look at the price of a house, and it has inflated in 100 years almost 5,000%. Now, I can get into the other stuff here with cars and taxes and the price of a dollar and the price of a meal and all this stuff. I've got it all sitting on my desk. I've ran out of time, but it's the story of how we're getting screwed. We're getting screwed, and all of our money is going overseas into special interests. There's a reason why supplements are so big and so popular and have such a great result. It's because whether it's your diet, whether it's your exercise routine, the point is you're lacking in some very important vitamins, very important minerals that can make you healthier, live longer, and feel better.
We're also under constant attack, Owen, and that's what's very important. So the modern human living experience, the environment that we subject ourselves to, it's the equivalent of smoking like a couple packs of cigarettes every single day. Like that's the bad food that we eat, that's the poison in the water, XYZ.
So it's kind of like what happens is, Rex Jones in studio with me, we're about to make a very exciting new product announcement here. So what ends up happening is, whether it's the modern day diet, or whether it's the modern day atmosphere, or whether it's, you know, a sedative state, you're not getting whatever it is you need to make your body function at its highest capabilities.
Absolutely correct. And that's why we created these two new formulas that are now live at thealexjonesstore.com. So we've got Methyl Drive here, and we've also got Power Plant. Now, both of them at their core, they do around the same type of thing. It's increasing fuel for you to create new mitochondria. It's increasing mitochondrial efficiency. It's reducing oxidative stress and XYZ, other things like that. Now, I want to single out Power Plant really quick. If you're a guy and you're looking for a boost, a healthy, sustainable testosterone boost, we made Power Plant specifically for someone that wants to increase their free testosterone.
I remember when I was looking into supplements and stuff and different things, like, you know, people don't get enough boron. They don't even know what boron is. And I remember one thing that always stuck in my head, and that's, you know, it's just true. Well, what does boron kind of rhyme with, folks? I'll just leave it at that. You know what I mean?
We've got bits and pieces of a system here that comes together and provides you just the antioxidant support you need, the testosterone support you need, the mitochondrial health support you need. It's all there. It's all together. It's in both of these products. You could take both of these at the same time and experience a heck of a lot of benefits. Now, I would say younger, older. You're an older person. You need more overall body support. You need the overall antioxidant support. I would go with the methyl drive. But if you're a younger person or someone looking for a performance boost, I would go with the Power Plant.
I can enhance what I'm doing here maybe like tenfold with the right supplement routine.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that statement. Look, the reason why this is called Power Plant is because it has cordyceps in it. Now, of course, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell and all that, but cordyceps is like an elite top tier S tier ingredient, which increases the amount of ATP you make, which indirectly helps you make more mitochondria, but beyond that, increases your oxygen carrying capacity. So you want to talk about workouts, you want to talk about power, you want to talk about strength, talk about Power Plant.
And that's what you need, especially when you're doing a heavy lift and you need to have good breathing, or you're doing long form cardio and you need to have strong breathing. That's where this is going to come into play. And when you started to talk about the new product that we just came out with the PQQ and the CoQ10.
Yes, the methyl drive.
Folks, I'm telling you, it's like if I had to do a list of like, okay, if someone said you can pick five things that you're going to get in a supplement, like what are the most important things? Guarantee you, you ask me 100 times, PQQ and CoQ10 are on that list for me 100 times.
Vitamin B12, as-methylcobalamin, the good kind. Magnesium, coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, PQQ. Black pepper for absorption. You can't ask for a better catch-all, really. And the synergy that both of these products have with the Methylene Blue is unparalleled. You will not find a better product on the market that's targeted in that specific way, because we made these for you, the customer, and for ourselves, because we believe in the product. We take the product.
TheAlexJonesStore.com to get these new products. Try them for yourself. I know they're going to become a staple. I see Rex working out here every once in a while. We've worked out in the gym every once in a while. And, you know, he's really excited about this stuff. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Agenda. Welcome to the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Oh, Judge Rosenberg. Oh, Judge. Come on, Judge. Give us the files. Give us the files, Judge. I've noticed silence from the Trump administration on that today. Have I been missing something, guys? I haven't heard anything from the Trump administration. Haven't heard anything from Pam Bondi. Yeah. Not going to get those files. Hey, you want those files? You guys remember that, was that like a Geico commercial where he's got the dollar on the, like, almost at it. Like, That's what it's like. And the people keep falling for it. It's like, I'm not playing the game anymore. I'm not jumping up trying to grab the dollar anymore, okay? We did that for 4 years in the first administration. I'm not playing that game. You want to jump up and down? You want to paint your face? You want to put another man's name on your shirt? Go ahead. I'm not playing that game. But it's like, So what's next? What's going to be the next rug pull? What's going to be the next yank? You know they got another one coming. It's just the whole thing is such a disaster. So really, and it's been the same since the beginning, but Trump just needs to come out, just level with the American people. Say, yep, I'm in the files, never did anything illegal. Didn't know anything illegal was happening. It was 50 years ago. It was a different world. It's really hurting what we're trying to do here. So I'm just going to tell you what I know. I'm going to do everything I can to give all the files to you and just let the dust settle wherever it is. People are going to attack me for it. They're probably going to try to kill me for it. They're going to try to start wars over it. They're going to try to crash the economy over it. But there it is. There it is. But if they try to play another distraction game, if they try to do another bait and switch game, if they try to do another pivot and look over here game, just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse. Just say it. We all know it. It's like it's already an open secret. That's why trying to cover it up is such an embarrassment. You can't cover it up. Oh, my gosh. There's no connection between Jeffrey Epstein and the intelligence agencies. There's no connection from Epstein and Mossad. Okay. Keep living in La La Land. And yeah, there's no chemtrails either, and there's no geoengineering, and there's no fluoride in the water, and the glyphosate's chemicals aren't turning the frogs gay. I mean, it's like, you know, Obama didn't illegally spy on Trump. It's like, what other conspiracy theories do we have to sit here and tell you are real? It's like, how many times do you need to get smacked in the face? So, hey, whatever. We deal with this all the time, getting attacked for being the first at the barbed wire. Now, I guess Trump is live right now, guys. Yeah. It's the same thing. Like, does anybody want to hear from Trump right now? Yeah. A month ago, 2 months ago, I've been like, oh, yeah, let's go to Trump. What's he saying? Let me tell you, things are so great right now. Everything's the best it's ever been. There's never been anything better, actually. Never been anything better than Trump. Never been anything better than this administration. We've delivered on every single promise, haven't we? Yes, every single one. Come on, clap like seals. That's right. That's just what it sounds like now. But let's see. Let's see what Trump is talking about. Go ahead.
Seneca of Palantir. We buy a lot of things from Palantir.
Oh.
Where are you?
Buy your Palantir
stuff.
Are we
paying our bills? I think so.
You know what that means.
We just made a deal with the European Union where they're going to pay the United States of America 100% of the cost of all military equipment. They're going to ship it to the European Union, and then they'll distribute it, and much of it will go to Ukraine. It's been a long time since you've heard those words, because we're in for $350 billion. But now we send it to Europe, and Europe pays. And they were great. We had a tremendous NATO meeting a few weeks ago, and it was pretty amazing, actually, what happened. They agreed to go from 2% to 5%, and they had 2% where they didn't pay. They have 5% where they've already paid. That's a big difference. That's trillions of dollars, actually, trillions. But they're going to spend that money in the United States with our defense companies, and we're going to send it to them, and they'll distribute the equipment that we send. So that's the way it should have been 3 years ago, frankly. And Jeff Sprecher, the other half of that incredible family, is he here? Is he here? He's a fantastic guy, international, intercontinental exchange, and he's been a friend of mine for a long time, the husband of Kelly, who's really doing a good job. You are really doing a good job. And small business, which is actually big business, if you add it all up, right? It's probably the biggest bank there is, but they call it small business, and she's done a fantastic job. Thanks, Kel. Say hello to Jeff. As we gather this afternoon, we're still in the earliest days of one of the most important technological revolutions in the history of the world. Around the globe, everyone is talking about artificial intelligence. I find that too. Artificial, I can't stand it. I don't even like the name. You know, I don't like anything that's artificial. So could we straighten that out, please? We should change the name. I actually mean that. I don't like the name artificial anything, because it's not artificial. It's genius. It's pure genius, and its potential to transform every type of human endeavor and domain of human knowledge, from medicine to manufacturing to warfare and national defense. Whether we like it or not, we're suddenly engaged in a fast-paced competition to build and define this groundbreaking technology that will determine so much about the future of civilization itself because of the genius and creativity of Silicon Valley. And it is incredible, incredible genius. Without question, the most brilliant place anywhere on Earth. America is the country that started the AI race. And as President of the United States, I'm here today to declare that America is going to win it. We're going to work hard. We're going to win it. Because we will not allow any foreign nation to beat us. Our children will not live on a planet controlled by the algorithms of the adversaries advancing values and interests contrary to our own. We don't want to have contrary interests. We want to get along, and we'll get along with other countries. We're having a great relationship, as I told you, with those countries that we mentioned, with Japan and Indonesia and so many others. The European Union, we're getting along. We're getting along very well with China. A lot of respect for President Xi. We have a great relationship, and we'll see how it all works out. But we're getting along with countries very, it's really been pretty amazing, I will say that, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing, not a bad thing. So from this day forward, it'll be a policy of the United States to do whatever it takes to lead the world in artificial intelligence. Such an important thing happening.
Okay. This is I am interested to hear what he has to say here, guys. Pause it real quick. We are not properly prepared for this. And I'm not ready to make it a big issue, but maybe it's like maybe it's time. Maybe we decide to lead the way on this. Because I'm not anti-technology. I'm not a Luddite. And I think any tool can be used for good or for bad. I can pick up a hammer and build a house, or I can pick up a hammer and bash someone over the head with it. So I'm not against AI, but it's just like, what proper precautions are we taking here to make sure this thing doesn't go sideways fast? Because if AI goes sideways fast, the things that it can do will be, they will happen so fast and they will virtually be irreversible. And so there's this AI race happening right now because everybody wants to get the government contracts. Everybody wants to get the first to the quantum computing, the quantum chip. Everybody wants to be first to the robot, the first to the AI robot, the first to the new AI video software. It's like everybody's just racing to be the first in the AI space to get there and get the billions and get the trillions. Is anybody just saying, hey, let's hit pause for a second here and let's make sure that we don't end up in a situation like Terminator or iRobot? I mean, you've seen the movies, you've read the books. Are we doing that, or is it just, let's just race and go all in, and then, whatever happens, we'll just deal with it then? It's just a fair question. Do you want to live in a world in, say, 5 to 10 years where there's robots in every space? Do you want to live in a world where a robot is doing all the work? Do you want to live in a world where the youth grows up and the vast majority of them don't even know how to learn or do research because it's all done by AI? What happens if AI can basically just become, I don't even know if I want to say sentient, but for all intents and purposes, I mean, what if it becomes sentient? What if it gets survival instincts? What if it learns how to basically get into the system and become permanent? Has anybody thought about this? Is anybody addressing this? And then we're going to build all these robots. It's like we can't even address the problems that we have in front of our faces now, and we're racing into the next bigger problem that might be the biggest problem ever. It's like we can't handle the debt. We can't handle all the foreign aid, our money getting stolen, the taxes, the deep state, the pedophile rings running everything, the blackmail, the corrupt intelligence agencies. Like, we can't even handle that. So let's just dive into the AI robot world, huh? How about that? Well, are there any measurements being taken to make sure I don't have to fight a robot with my bare hands in 10 years? Are there any measurements, any proper measurements being taken to make sure that AI can't escape and start making its own decisions, maybe turn against us? Or are we just going to go ahead and just race into that and just pile it on top of all the other issues we have? And I notice, and I mean, it's all BS anyway, but you notice how, first of all, the whole climate change thing, the whole man-made climate change thing has basically gone completely silent because it was a complete boondoggle. And so now it's like nobody believes it anymore. Well, actually, the UN, I think, just came out and said every member country owes money for climate change. So, you know, they may try to bring it back. But notice how they're silent on it. Nothing is going to spend more energy than AI. Nothing. It will be the biggest use of energy ever is going to be AI. It's like you already have most of the planet. People don't even have power. And hey, whatever. They can't figure their crap out. We live in the best country on the earth. Okay. It's like, notice how they're silent on that. Notice how nobody's talking about the energy that's going to be needed for AI. So let's just say, you know what? We can't even handle the basic problems in front of our face. We got people that think men can get pregnant. So let's just race into the AI world. Let's just have robots building robots and give them AI and everything will be fine. And, you know, you won't have to worry about dealing with that. That won't be a problem in the future. Certainly hope not. Hope it all turns out great. It could. But are we making these measurements? Or are we just racing into it so somebody can be richer than the other guy? All right, let's see. Let's go back to President Trump here. Guys, go ahead.
It will be really great, but what we really need to be successful is a very simple phrase called common sense, and that begins with a common sense application of artificial and intellectual property rules. It's so important. You can't be expected to have a successful AI program when every single article, book, or anything else that you've read or studied, you're supposed to pay for. Gee, I read a book. I'm supposed to pay somebody. And, you know, we appreciate that, but you just can't do it because it's not doable. And if you're going to try and do that, you're not going to have a successful program. I think most of the people in the room know what I mean. When a person reads a book or an article, you've gained great knowledge. That does not mean that you're violating copyright laws or have to make deals with every content provider. And that's a big thing that you're working on right now, I know, but you just can't do it. China's not doing it. And if you're going to be beating China, and right now we're leading China very substantially in AI, very, very substantially, and nobody's seen the amount of work that's going to be bursting upon the scene. But you have to be able to play by the same set of rules. So when you have something, when you read something, and when it goes into this vast intelligence machine, we'll call it, you cannot expect to every time, every single time, say, oh, let's pay this one that much, let's pay this one. It just doesn't work that way. Of course, you can't copy or plagiarize an article, but if you read an article and learn from it, we have to allow AI to use that pool of knowledge without going through the complexity of contract negotiations, of which there would be thousands for every time we use AI. We also have to have a single federal standard, not 50 different states regulating this industry of the future. And some people would say, gee, that's an unpopular thing to say. I was told before I got up here, this is an unpopular thing because some people, they don't want that. But I want you to be successful. And you can't have one state holding you up. You can't have three or four states holding you up. You can't have a state with standards that are so high that it's going to hold you up. You have to have a federal rule and regulation. Hopefully you'll have the right guy in this position that's going to that's going to supplant the states if you are operating under 50 different
regulation. There's this video of, and I see a lot of this going on, and I don't like to jump to any conclusions unless I've actually experienced it myself. But like, you know, you see the videos of life in Russia or life in China or life in these Gulf state nations, and you can't help but do a compare and contrast to our major metropolitan areas. They're filled with trash and homelessness and crime and everything else, and it's like, oh, well, gee, why doesn't Russia have this problem? Why doesn't Japan have this problem? Why doesn't China have this problem? Why doesn't the UAE have this problem? Why doesn't Qatar have this problem? And that's not to say I would rather live in those countries. I wouldn't. But, you know, you look at this stuff and you just say, well, what's up with that? So he talks about regulation here. And, you know, I got this video of a gentleman who's in China walking the streets and showing what life is like, the nightlife in China. Now, if I did a compare and contrast to that experience and just walked around downtown Austin and said, here's nightlife in downtown Austin, it's like, it's night and day. I mean, you go downtown Austin and to the hot spots, you know, the restaurants and the bars are at and some of the venues for entertainment, you're going to see crime. You're going to see garbage. You're going to see a bunch of infrastructure construction just sitting there unattended. You're going to see a lot of homelessness. You're probably going to get harassed. But it's like you go to these other countries, you don't see any of that. So again, I'm not racing to any conclusions. I haven't been there, but yeah, I think it's fair to do a compare and contrast. What is that? You can point to a bunch of different things. But you get into the regulations and you say, well, why do we have all these regulations? Because we have lost what is probably the most important thing for our civilization. And that is a high trust society. We don't have a high trust society anymore. So now you have lawyers involved in everything. You have regulations on everything. And you have to have this expansive, massive government taxing you on everything because we don't live in a high trust society anymore. That's what we've lost. When you have a high trust society, you don't need big government. When you have a high trust society, you don't need massive regulation. You don't need massive oversight. That's what we've lost, folks. We've lost our high trust civilization and everything has gone down. So, yeah, I don't want to live in communist China. I don't want to live in a Muslim country. But how do we tap back into that high trust societies that they have? Because we don't, folks. We don't. We have a very low trust society. You can't get enough locks on your house and cars. You can't get enough of a security system at your house, at your business. We have to fight for our right to defend ourselves in our own cities because they're so violent. How do we get back to that? So it's like, I don't want to live in communist China, but why do you see these cities in China and people walking around, no homelessness, no trash, no crime? There was like an old lady dance class going on. An old lady, like interpretive dance class happening in a downtown China city. You're going to see that in Austin, Texas? Hell no. Because they have high trust society. So it's really sad. It's really sad that we've lost that, and I don't know if you can get it back. But it doesn't help when you have a corrupt justice system that doesn't even put the real criminals in jail, doesn't put the big criminals in jail, doesn't put the small criminals in jail. Selectively decides who to prosecute. And then you have an issue because your government steals all your money, taxes you to hell. And so now you have poverty issues and then you have crime issues. How do we get back? Can you even get back? Can you even get back? And that's why, you know, again, People go to Japan, they go to Russia, they go to China, and they're just shocked. They go to these Gulf nation states. Like, why? You know, we're supposed to be the most advanced country in the world. We're supposed to be the richest country in the world. We're supposed to be the best country in the world. Why do they have nicer subways? Why do they have nicer public transit? Why do they have nicer, cleaner streets? Why don't they have hundreds or thousands of homeless running around like we do? Why don't they even lock the cars, the doors on their cars? I don't have some smelly bum with crap in his pants begging me for money every time I turn the block. It's sad. But that's what that is. That's what that is. That's the difference between a high trust society and a low trust society, which is what we have now. Low trust society. So bad. People don't even want to go out anymore. They don't even want to leave their homes anymore. Or they want to move out of the big metropolitan areas because it's just so filled with filth. Yeah, but, you know, maybe you can go to your local government grocery store. You know, like they want to do in New York with their commie Mamdani. Sun Fresh Market in East Kansas City smells bad, has very few food items. Government-funded grocery store flounders in Midwest City. Similar proposal gains steam in New York City. Empty shelves persist at shopping center grocery store despite city funding. Here's the local news report.
It's clear this Sunfresh at 31st and Prospect is struggling. This is the first section people see when they come in. There's barely any produce. A lot of the coolers and shelves around the store look the same way, empty. So shoppers have been asking us, if the store isn't closing, then where is all the food? A rotten smell comes through the door, and anywhere you turn, you'll see products that need to be restocked. No hot food or deli.
Now, I watch people walk in and walk out.
The grocery store has received financial assistance from the city, but has been unable to keep those shelves stocked in an area that in the past has often been referred to as a food desert.
Around here, a good thing don't last too long.
And it will impact a lot of people and a lot of families.
The city owns the Linwood Shopping Center. A nonprofit operates the grocery store.
Nice. Good luck, New York. I think Mamdani is getting in. Can you believe Cuomo, this guy? What do you think he's trying to get out of this, by the way? He knows he can't win. So why has he decided to run as an independent? Because he's a corrupt bastard, that's why. He's trying to get something out of it. So now you're going to have a three-man race, and then Mamdani is what you're going to get. And Eric Adams ain't that popular either. Sadly, he's probably your best option. But you're going to get Mamdani. You're going to get communism. I'd get the hell out, what I'd do.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and you, what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy, he's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting, in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule, it should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. And it's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm going to eat at 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.